But I can't believe we're already in July. Like, I can't believe it. To me, though, seriously, no, time really is going by faster. And I know people have different theories behind that. But it's like, I just felt like we had Christmas.
Yes. Well, I have felt like time has sped up a lot.
Like, a ton.
Now, I know a lot of older people have always said, like, time flies by. So I've wondered in my head if it's just kind of my perception of time.
Yes.
But lately, it really has just seemed, in general, like it's speeding up.
It does. And is there something in the Bible that says something about that? Because I don't know who I was talking to, but somebody was telling me there was something like that in there. I have never ran across it, but
I don't know.
We'll have to look that up, because for me, it's just like weird. I know we were talking about the
Well, there is the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. They have a different calendar than us. So for them, it's actually the year 2016 still.
Wow.
So, but they go by a lunar calendar, or a solar calendar, and we go by a lunar calendar.
Okay, and that all started when they follow like the Jubilee years?
So they follow in their Bible, they have the Book of Jubilees, which depicts a different type of calendar than the one that was started to get used more frequently. And so according to that solar calendar that just has like an even amount of days, and so like your holidays always fall on the same day. They don't like rotate around or anything like that. But they've followed that for a really long time. And I think a lot of cultures used to follow it. But it's very interesting. They have a lot of different little ideas and different things within their Bible and within their beliefs and their religion.
That's interesting. I know you were reading some stuff about in the Book of Enoch, some more things that you found interesting.
Well, reading the Book of Enoch, again, that's the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Now, they believe in the Book of Enoch, and they've always used that as part of their scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is a group of Ethiopian Jews. They're called Beta Israel. And I think a lot of them have migrated to Israel now, but they were in Ethiopia for a very long time, and there still are some. But they go by that same calendar, and they have, as part of their scripture, they have the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilees. Those things are still considered scripture. But what I think is really, really interesting about them, is whenever you hear about the Dead Sea Scrolls being discovered and being hidden, there's a group that has always been kind of attributed to have probably hidden them in those caves.
Yes.
But I've always found it interesting that, you know, they were found in the caves when they were found.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden there were so many copies of these particular books, especially the Book of Enoch, which was eventually eliminated, really.
Yes.
So I kind of was just recently wondering if maybe the Beta Israel tribe, as they were traveling and going to Ethiopia, I wonder if they were possibly the ones that hid those documents in the caves.
Very possible.
I was reading that they don't know exactly where they came from. They may have been the lost tribe of Dan. There really isn't a lot of information about exactly where they came from, because they just kind of pop on the scene at least 1,500 years ago in Ethiopia. And it's pretty weird, because when people came, to spread the good news after the Messiah, they were waiting for the Messiah. They were waiting for that news. And so many converted to create that Ethiopian Orthodox Church, which is a Christian church that we have now. And they were placed as guardians of the Ark of the Covenant, because they've claimed for a very long time to have the Ark of the Covenant. And even though a lot of people have claimed to have the Ark of the Covenant, I would say I think they have the best claim for it.
Yeah, definitely. I know you were telling me about a news article that you sent me.
Well, I thought it was weird, because whenever I was just kind of researching and going through things, you never hear about this, but they were actually attacked, and it didn't really make it into mainstream news. This was a couple of years ago, but at least 800 people were killed protecting this Ark of the Covenant in Ethiopia.
That's crazy to me.
Yes, it's really weird. And there was also a news story from several years back where a reporter went to Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. He tried to interview the man that takes care of the Ark, because essentially they have one monk.
Mm-hmm.
Who spends his whole life, who barely eats, he barely sleeps, and he just like sits at the Ark of the Covenant watching over it, burning incense, praying, praising God. It's very like mystical in a way. And yeah. Then they pick another person to take over. So there's always one of these monks watching over. And then they have a larger group of monks that guard him as wow. he goes inside. And most of the people, most of that 800 and plus people that died a couple of years ago protecting the Ark, most of them had never even seen it, because it is this sacred thing. Yes. Nobody can see it. Nobody can photograph it. But they have had this claim, and it goes back centuries.
Mm.
So it's very interesting.
I found it interesting just in the article, because it was like they were, you know, the 800 people were killed. But it said that when everything went down, like they heard, I guess, the fights and stuff, people from all over came to fight
mm-hmm.
these people off that was trying to get at the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. And I thought, that takes some really dedication. That take, yeah. I mean, you're fighting for something you believe in.
Yes.
And for me, that's powerful.
It really made me think... really like a God sort of intervening to mm-hmm. think about how many people have probably tried to take this object over time.
Yes.
And 800 people, yes, who weren't even involved in the church, but just came to, they were probably members of the church, maybe, mm-hmm. But just came to protect this sacred thing that they've never even laid eyes on. But think of all the people that have tried to steal that over the time. So it's like, it really feels like maybe there is something higher protecting it.
I think so too, because it's kind of like they have the one monk that's only allowed to see mm-hmm. it until they, you know, get another one to take his place. But it's kind of like, it's not like they have military surrounded.
Right.
Them. I mean, they have the monk in there, and then they have the other monks. And it's kind of, for me, it's like if someone really wanted to get in there, rebels and people... Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, how hard could it be?
I know. And you would think that so many people would have tried at this point. You
but
know?
I think it's something that a lot of people, in a way, you know, they don't want to mess with that. Like,
yeah.
they're like, okay, this is God's thing, and I'm staying away.
Yes.
I mean, we had that, you know, back in, was it 2001?
Mm-hmm.
That when the people tried to get it, and of course, a lot of people died, but they didn't get it.
Yes, that's why I'm thinking, like, maybe it's something protecting them. And I think in general, the churches, it is unusual to me that the things that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls mm-hmm. directly relate to their Bible, their calendar. And there's an odd mm-hmm. something about that. And also I was reading that the Beta Israel group, so that's the Jewish Ethiopian mm-hmm. church, most of them migrated in like the 1980s to Israel. Mm-hmm. But that group is approximately about 150,000. And to me, I found that so odd, because whenever you're reading the Bible and you're reading like the 144,000, you're always kind of wondering who that group is or what that group mm-hmm. is. And I know that we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying that they are that 144,000, but I did find that number very odd.
What are the odds of them being about that many people?
Yes, and they're this really old original Jewish tribe that just kind of like nobody really knows even exactly where they came from.
Yes.
And they've been guarding, and they claim to have the Ark of the Covenant, and their Bible's a little bit different. And I think that the pieces that they have in their Bibles, I actually think are real mm-hmm. and genuine. Like the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jubilees, I believe they belong there. I believe they're scripture.
I do too. I definitely do. I mean, we've talked about that before, them being out, you know, taken out. I think there's so many little missing
mm-hmm.
pieces that go with it.
Well, what have you heard about the 144,000?
Well, basically, growing up Jehovah's Witness, that's kind of where I heard it from first. And they would say the 144,000, those are the only ones that are actually going to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. The rest of everybody else, God's going to, you know, make a new earth. Mm-hmm. And everyone will stay on that earth. Like when they die, they come back to life, they're raised to life, and they live on this perfect, like, paradise. Kind of like, you know, the Garden of Eden in a way. But the 144,000 that the witnesses talked about, that was people that are only going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And for them, I think, I don't know if they ever really acknowledged who that 144,000 were. Mm-hmm. I don't think they ever said that. They just talked about there is 144,000 that's mm-hmm. going to be going to heaven.
Like the holiest of people. And you've mm-hmm. said before that the Jehovah's Witness, now they did believe in the Nephilim.
They did.
But they didn't have the Book of the Enoch.
No. They didn't have, they really had their own Bible. I'll have to get one. I think my mom still has some. It would be interesting just to go through it because there's things that are different in there. Mm-hmm. But yes, they did not have the Book of Enoch, which is interesting. But they did believe in the Nephilim. They believed that the, you know, demons came down and slept with the women and then that these children and stuff like that. So they taught us about things like that. And that, like, going back to basically a fear of demons is what we grew up with.
Mm-hmm. As of, like, the demons roaming. Well, you know, what's interesting, too, is there is that small verse in Genesis. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where they pulled it from, was the small verse in Genesis. I don't know if it's Genesis 6, maybe, where it says that the sons of God mated with the daughters of men. Mm-hmm. But what I think is really weird is it does give an explanation for demons. Whereas in other versions, it's sort of like, what are demons really? And people will say, like, fallen angels. But then you'll read about, like, Satan being bound. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what I've noticed is that parts of the Bible, to me, really only make sense within the context of the Book of Enoch. Mm-hmm. And there's a few things that I've found for that. One of them is, of course, the origin of demons.
Yeah.
Which it perfectly explains, like, demons themselves are not actually fallen angels. They're the Nephilim. They're the children and offspring. And so because they were born of humans, too, they have a human flesh that passes away. Mm-hmm. And then that spirit departs. And then that spirit is angry and rises up against men because mm-hmm. they came from humans, too.
Yeah.
So I found that really interesting. And then another thing, when I was going through the Book of Enoch, that I thought was so interesting was when it's talking about the people and it's talking about how they will lead people astray. So fallen angels or demons led people astray and had human beings worshiping demons as gods and sacrificing to demons as gods.
Yep.
To me, that really relates back to what we see all over the world.
Oh, yeah.
So we see constant sacrificing. So we have so many cultures that have practiced not just animal sacrifice, but human sacrifice. Yeah. And they're praying to these deities. And the Book of Enoch really ties that in because it specifically says that they take on various forms. Mm. And that's what you'll see whenever you're looking all over the world in these old ancient religions and cultures. You'll see over and over again that it's similar entities.
Yes.
They may look a little different, like a various form.
Yes.
And they're requesting to be worshipped and sacrificed to and leading people to do that. So that's another piece that I found particularly interesting that, to me, makes more sense within the context of the Book of Enoch.
Mm. It's very interesting. I mean, like the witnesses, they did, you know, they did believe in like that kind of stuff too, just because that's kind of why we didn't celebrate Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they were sacrificing babies under trees and things like that, mm-hmm. like these entities or whatever they were, and people were following them, and that's kind of like just paganism.
Yeah. Yeah, these pagan gods.
Kind of came from that. But it's very fascinating when you start digging and finding little pieces here and there that add up. And, you know, you can't deny the fact that the angels were, you know, there was fallen angels, there's bad angels. Because, I mean, Satan, I mean, he was an angel. He was one of God's, it says, his most beautiful angels.
Yeah, he disguises himself as a being of light.
Yes.
So it's really, you have to look at it like, not only does that also kind of correlate with the Bible, he can disguise himself. Mm-hmm. So you have like him disguising himself as a serpent or a being of light or an angel or whatever. And oftentimes these things are also associated with like bulls and have horns.
Wow. Well, that's probably where, you know, the Satan costumes or devil costume comes from for Halloween.
And one of the stranger things too is when you're looking in the Book of Enoch, one of the first parts is they descend upon Mount Hermon, which is the highest mountain in Israel.
Yep.
And whenever they descend upon that, they actually say that they're taking an oath that they're going to do this thing. They're going to descend from this high place and they're going to mate with women. And so they swear by an oath. And there was a man, his name was Sir Charles Warren. And this is like over 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. He hiked up to the top of that mountain and he found this strange plate.
Weird.
With an inscription on it. And it was so heavy, he couldn't move it. So he had to break it in half to take it down with him.
Oh my gosh.
But he got it down. It's in some museum currently. They can't perfectly decipher what it says, but it appears to be some type of written oath in another language. And he equated this to possibly being that original oath taken. And it's been proven that it's real. I mean, it's very old and there's a few pieces missing, but it says we're taking an oath and it says something like blank against the holy God or with the holy God. And then all of a sudden it goes into this other sort of piece, but it all correlates back to that oath taken at the top of the mountain in the Book of Enoch.
That's so fascinating.
It's really, it's very weird. And if you look, you can just even Google temples of Mount Hermon. And there are so many altars and temples that are just kind of like in ruins now because it was this very holy place for a lot of people in a long time. And this sort of high place, because if you notice in the Bible, they're always going up to like high places, like Moses would go up to the top of the mountain, or Jesus during his transfiguration, he went up to the top of a mountain. Mm-hmm. Some say Mount Hermon. And but anyway, there's all of these temples that are in ruins and they're from all different cultures. They have like Roman ruins, Greek ruins. So it's just very strange.
And what are the odds of that? Like, honestly, come on.
Mm-hmm. And you'll find all these weird statues.
It's so strange. It's just, if people really want to dig into it and do their homework and like look this stuff up, I mean, you can find a lot of information.
You really can. And the more that you dig into it, the more that you keep finding and finding.
Yeah, it's like never ending.
Yes, that's what I've learned just kind of like through, I would say like a spiritual awakening of sorts that I think everybody's having, where we're all stumbling upon all of these truths.
I agree.
That have been hidden from us over time. And we're starting to discover them again.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, you think of all the years that's gone by and we're still finding things out. Like, we're still discovering stuff. It's like, how much more is there?
Yeah,
you know, there has to be more. And I think a lot of it has to do with other people wanting to keep stuff hidden. Mm-hmm. So you have that.
Yeah.
You know, but if you just keep digging, you will find things.
You'll find a lot of things. And one thing that I think is really weird too is when we're talking about like the Romans, the ancient Romans, and the gods that they worshipped, they're some of the ones that pop in my mind is these kind of false gods.
Yeah.
And I do find it particularly strange that when you go to like the Vatican, mm-hmm. or you go and you look at all of these things and all the stuff that's acquired, there's still all of these ancient statues to their deities in what is supposed to be the most holy place. Yeah. And I'm not saying anything against Catholics, because I believe that there are lots of really great, really devout Catholics that are true Christians.
Oh, yes, that. Of course.
Not saying anything against that, but I'm just saying in general, it's, to me, that's strange.
Mm-hmm. That they would have those there.
That they would be there in that holy place, and that some of the holiest buildings or churches there were built on top of ancient sites that were churches or temples to their former mm-hmm. gods.
Yeah.
It's a little weird.
It is a little weird, but, and touching back on that, yeah, we're not like, we're basically non-denominational, I guess you could call us.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I personally don't believe in one true religion.
Yes.
I believe that lots of religions get it right, and bits and pieces of mm-hmm. all of them, but of Christianity, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe in like just one solid religion. I think you have to kind of take everything with a grain of salt and kind of, you know, be open minded to all the religions and kind of see, you know, what adds up and what doesn't.
I think, honestly, that there's some truth in all religions,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's spread out almost like a puzzle.
Yes, exactly.
And we just sort of have to find pieces. Mm-hmm. And some people that are, you know, raised to be very dogmatic, or, you know, you don't question your religion, you don't question your preacher, you stick to it. I really don't think that that's the way to go, because I honestly believe that Jesus specifically, of all people, teaches us not to be like that. Jesus questioned the church.
Yes.
Jesus came in and he questioned the church, and he did things that were a little different, and they would question him. And they would say, you know, just him healing.
On Sunday.
Yes, on the Sabbath. And not just that, but he was killed.
Yep.
For questioning the church. And he left with us so many verses, so many words of be careful and be wary of the false preachers.
Yes.
Be careful of the false teachers.
Yep.
They're all around you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said specifically, people will come to him and say, I prophesied in your name. And he'll say, I never knew you.
Yep.
And so it is actually our job, our God-given right, and our right that's left to us by Christ to question everything.
Yes.
And it's okay to question it. It's not against God to go, hold on a second, does this fit with what Jesus says?
Exactly.
And I think that's the important overall thing, is we have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that he did say that after him, there's going to come along a lot of people that are going to be false teachers.
Yep.
So we do have to be very, very careful.
Yes. And that's to say, as long as you're living for Christ or Christ-like, like you're trying to follow what Jesus wants you to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, not just not a religious law,
mm-hmm.
for example, because yeah. that's how we were, or I was raised, very just religious laws.
Yes.
And that's not what really makes you a good Christian.
It's not. And you can look at, I mean, I think Buddha has lots of amazing qualities. I think he says a lot of great things. There's a lot of great teachings. But Buddha was a man.
Yeah, he's still a man.
He was definitely a man. He was married and he had a child, and he actually left his wife and child to go do his teachings. And not only that, but he refused to teach women. He said mm-hmm. that if women wanted to achieve that sort of nirvana state, that they would have to die and be reborn into men's bodies in order to achieve that. And a lot of people a lot of people don't realize those types of things when they're thinking that, oh, this is a much more evolved or elevated religion. They don't realize, they don't really pull into those teachings.
No.
And they don't realize, you know, Buddha died an old man warm in his bed from like eating bad pork. And I'm not saying anything bad about Buddha at all. I think he was great. I think he enlightened a lot of people. I think he had great teachings that can help a lot of people. But at the same time, it's very easy to see that Buddha was still just a man.
Just a man.
And then you have the Prophet Muhammad. And I'm saying, again, nothing against the Islamic religion. I think that for the most part, they practice a beautiful religion. It's, you know, kindness and things like that. There are wonderful people in the Islamic religion that follow teachings that are good. But what I'm saying is that Muhammad was a man, though.
Yeah.
He was. And I know that he's seen as a prophet. And most of the prophets, I mean, all the prophets are men.
Yes,
and you
true.
Can clearly see that they're men.
Yes.
They're dealing with their wives, and they're dealing with maybe multiple wives or all of those kinds of things that make them very different than Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're trying to say that, like, we're Christian, there is a difference between him and everyone else that
yes.
you pull out, because everyone else, if you set them next to Jesus, there's a difference. And Napoleon, who was, you know, the biggest conqueror, but Napoleon even said, I know men, and Jesus was no man.
Yeah.
And he says, I can see myself in all of these other sort of religious conquerors.
Yes.
And he said he can't see himself in Jesus.
No.
And that's, I mean, that really resonates with me, because it's like, when I'm looking at things like this, yes, I find wonderful philosophers and I love mm-hmm. their teachings, but they're people.
And they're, yes, they're human men.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, like, you can never find anybody like Jesus.
No, you can't. And a lot of people will say, well, it's not historically accurate. But I have to say, there's a lot of other people, and Buddha lived way before Jesus. And we get a pretty historically accurate picture of him.
Yes.
And the picture of Christ is not only from Christian sources. There are sources outside of Christianity.
That's right.
And a lot of people will say, oh, those documents were written long after Jesus died. There's a lot of proof that two of the Gospels were written by two of his disciples
mm-hmm.
that were right there with them.
Yep.
And I don't know about you, but even if I'm older and I'm, you know, 20 years has passed and I'm writing something, yes, I might get some small details wrong, but I'm going to get the big picture right.
Yes.
I'm going to remember the dude that came back from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I really look at it as, you know, you have all of these disciples too. They all went on to die horrible deaths, refusing to take, you know, to recant their story or recant their statements. And that also goes to show you, like, under extreme pressure.
Yes.
Being crucified themselves, there was something in their minds that they had seen and encountered that
there was
no going back at that point.
Yeah.
They knew that pain was just for a limited time
just
only.
Temporary. Well, yeah, because that's kind of the thing that gets me too. It's like, even before Jesus's death, you know, like, Peter denied him 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had lots of people like that, but it's kind of like after his death,
yeah.
you know, that wasn't going on. After mm-hmm. he rose and they saw, they were not going to deny him again.
Yes.
I mean, they knew. And it's just like you said, we know this life is fleeting. Like, this body is fleeting. Like, we won't be here forever. But they, in their mind, knew that eternity
mm-hmm.
was coming.
Yes. Something bigger than them. Something
mm-hmm.
bigger than this life and this world.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was okay to be in such pain for a moment. And there's documentation of the Christians being killed, the early Christians. There's documentation of these followers and these disciples being killed.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at that and compare that to the other stories. Why do you believe one story? Why do you believe, you know, all kinds of things? I mean, all the Plato, Pythagoras, like every philosopher, all of these ancient people that lived a long time ago, why do we believe their stories in comparison to Jesus? But then we question the stories of Jesus.
Yeah. I would say if someone had something real, some dirt on Jesus, it would already came out. Like,
come on now. They tried a little bit here and there.
They have, but there's nothing like...
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
They would have done it. It would have been... They would not have even had to crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
If they could have crucified his character,
oh,
and they
yes,
tried.
That's good. Yep.
They would have. And that would have been all that needed to be done. Yep. There were so many people that came forward claiming to be the Messiah prior to Christ and after, because they were awaiting a Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And so many, you don't know their names.
Yes.
Nothing happened with them. And that just goes to show you all you had to do was try to get rid of their name and you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless there's something more powerful than that, that's the only reason you would kill someone.
Definitely. And I mean, not only that, but it's like life changing. Just the book,
mm-hmm.
you know, 2000 years ago starting, just mm-hmm. like something like that. It's like, to keep going, there has to be something more to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, even when we talk about like government weird, like conspiracies and cover-ups mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and we talk about like, you know, hey, maybe the CIA off some people, which come on, we know they, we know they do. But do they do it when the person is just kind of like a nut and mm-hmm. really doesn't know anything? No.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. That's the thing. They're very strategic when they're doing things. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. So, I mean, that's, I think we got off topic there a little bit, but
yeah.
What else was I going to talk about? I know I was thinking of some other things from the Book of Enoch that I thought were really interesting.
Oh, okay.
Going back to kind of like the angels or the fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I thought was particularly weird, going back to that whole Mount Hermon.
Yes.
One of the gods that they worshipped was the god Baal, which we hear about him in the Bible a lot.
Yep.
And there's kind of a depiction of him that's very, very common. And there was also a god Moloch. And Moloch was, they sacrificed children to Moloch.
Oh.
And underneath, they found like a cave. Somewhere in the Middle East. And when they got into that cave, they found like a stone table and they realized that they had found that place where they used to sacrifice their children.
Oh my gosh.
And babies to this god. But I just found that so particularly disturbing, because when you're really thinking about just kind of the sickening types of things that people did, and you would go to another side of the world. And so you would go to like the Aztec or the Mayans. They found so many child sacrifices.
Ugh.
And you have to wonder, like, what? All I can think of is evil. Just pure evil.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you wonder about a lot of things. And when it's talking about the Nephilim, it says that the earth reared up against the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
The earth itself laid accusation to them. And it says that the Nephilim were running around. Basically, they had eaten all of the food, mm-hmm. and then they began to turn and eat the people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were even eating each other's flesh and drinking each other's blood, which is just extremely weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of brought back that sort of thought process of like, who would do such a crazy thing as to like sacrifice? Why? Like, who would request that? And to me, again, it really ties into, we do have some answers for things like that.
Yeah, evilness.
Mm-hmm.
And the bad spirits and demons and stuff like that. And they always said, you know, they come nothing but kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes.
And that's the whole point they come for.
Well, I know. Let's see. I need to hurry up, probably. I'm trying to think. We probably need to say something positive. I've just rambled on and on about
Okay.
Negative stuff.
Well, we talked about Jesus.
Yes, that's true. I don't want to end on the note of eating people.
Oh my gosh. Well, how's your manifestation going? Like anything you've been doing? I know since your blue feather. My blue feather has not came yet.
You haven't found your blue feather yet?
Not yet. I'm still waiting on my fluffy. And for a little bit I was thinking about it a lot, but then, you know, I left on a vacation.
Yeah.
But I haven't had my blue feather yet. And I thought about it the other day. So I was like, wait a minute, I haven't had my blue feather.
Well, it'll take some time.
But I'm just leaving that alone.
Yes. Don't get emotionally invested in it. Just let it be.
Yeah.
I have been trying to do a new thing. I was reading this one thing that was talking about how important it is to live in the moment.
Yes.
Because you cannot manifest from the past or the future. You can only manifest from the moment. And so the biggest barrier for people is that they are never in the moment when they're manifesting.
So. And they say just be like kind of like in the now of the gratitude too. Mm-hmm. Just be thankful in the moment for what you have. And, you know, like I said, just imagine, see it, feel it that mm-hmm. you have it. But then also have that gratitude, which yes. sometimes that's hard to do when you're going through life and things keep knocking you down. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like just to keep, that's why if you have like a gratitude journal or start your day off with that, that's always a good thing.
I think it is. I think that one's good. And I was also hearing that be careful of your daydreaming.
Really?
Like a lot of people spend a lot of time daydreaming and it's not really about things that they would want. Like maybe you're daydreaming about stuff that you've seen on TV or maybe you're daydreaming that, you know, some people will daydream all kinds of stuff. Like you're an undercover agent. You're this. You know what I mean? But it was saying,
my new job.
But it was saying to be careful of your daydreaming and to make sure that you're spending your time focusing on what you want because it gives the universe mixed signals.
That makes sense. That's hard, though, especially when you're an anxious person or you yes. have anxiety. Sometimes I'm like, I'm imagining these scenarios in my yeah. mind. I'm like, oh, stop it. Stop
yes.
that. That's not good.
Yes.
And then I have to stop myself.
Mm-hmm. But the positive thought is 100 times stronger than the negative thought. So we yes, do have to remember that.
Positive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's true.